when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company?
Cornelius.
Where's your boy? Y'all know how, look, I am so doggone excited about, I'm telling you about being here today. Y'all don't understand. So we sit next to my big brother, I'm not only Dr. Cornelius. Come on here.
He's so generous,
he
y'all.
Is so freaking amazing. All I said on there is amazing. So, of course, we are, of course, this is Pastor Angela Johnson. Of course, I'm the only one, so to another, but today I am TTMO Radio.
Yeah.
And look, I did a little teaser today, and I called Dana, Pastor Dana LK, because I was standing in front of his back, and I said, the reason why I can call him that, because he's not here to hit me in the side. Pastor, we're going to take good as hot seat. We're excited about sitting at these hounds, of course. TTMO Radio are on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and today is always praise. Come on, what's the title of the
episode?
Praise Break Friday. Up in here.
Praise Break Friday.
And it's so amazing because you need to get a little closer. So amazing because it's a real show. I promise y'all, I don't have on no glasses today. Of course, she's got some signs up. Go ahead, tell us.
Today's conversation is keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. Also, we will discuss the article to the pastor considering an extramarital affair.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my God, if you are listening by Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's 347-934-0546. If you want to make a comment or post a comment, simply press 1. That will get you to the producer.
Come on.
Hey, also check this out. If you like to keep it, Keep up with us via social media. We are on Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can tweet us at TTLO Radio. You can tweet us at TTLO Radio. You can also watch us live at Ustream. That's Ustream TV. Search for the Take the Limits Off Radio Show. We are also on Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Email us at takingthelimitsoffradio@comcast.net. You can also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes. It's free.
Oh, my God. So, of course, again, it's your girl, Pastor Angela Johnson. Of course, I'm normally one supposed to put another show with information, inspiration, and godly revelation heard only once a month, special edition on InsightsForRadio.com. We're one supposed to another media. And also, my co today is none other than Pastor Prophet
Cornelius Williams, and I represent the Gospel Living Platform. And I am so excited about being here, sitting in this hot seat for the Reverend Dana King.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
And he and Cornelius sitting over here like he Tonto, making sure he put an A on the man. Come on, an A on the man. An amen. We're all going to
say
it. Can I tell y'all, it's hot today?
It's hot.
Okay, so we got, I'm very hot, but we believe Jesus to be our cool, cooling water. So, of course, we're going to try to keep you all as engaged as we possibly can. But today, not right now, but today we are going to talk about the pastor considering an extramarital affair. And we decided, come on, somebody say, we decided we're going to end it all with talking about keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. Because I tell you, in the 21st century church, I cannot believe we're talking about pastors even thinking about extramarital affair.
It's a reality.
I can't believe it. So, with that in mind, I do want to, of course, start off by, if we can get, how about we do this, Pastor Cornelius?
What's that?
How about chime in if you could just share with us a little bit about who's checking in with us right now, TTLO, on Facebook Live or wherever we are right now.
Well, we have people.
Names.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to see who's here. Wait, no, that's not true.
That's right.
I see Felicia Martin. She's tuned in. She's probably the only one right now. We got Sherry to get some people in so they can come in and meet with us.
We've got Yolanda King that's on with us.
Yolanda King is on with us.
Uh-huh.
We need to get some people on with us. So that means we've got to share and invite people. I don't know who's on the Blog Talk audience if we could just acknowledge all of the Blog Talk listeners that are listening in with us. We thank you for listening and tuning in with us. Dana King isn't here with us today, but we are having his show.
We are.
And we are so excited about it.
We are. And so, of course, TTLO Radio in the house with us today. Your host and co-host today is none other than Pastor Angela L. Johnson. Thank you for, of course, taking your lunch break with us today. You know we're going to be with you till about 1:30 or so. Prophet Cornelius, before we kick the show off, can you just tell us about what you're doing and what you're going to be doing and what's going on in your life?
In my world, World Dominion Church, of course, all of you know that I'm a publisher of BCW Global Enterprises. So if you need a publishing contract, if you need a publishing deal, if you're a writer, author, reach out to me. You can find me at BCW Global Enterprise right on social media and inbox me. Also, too, I'm the pastor of World Dominion Church. Right here in Chicago, 103 North Laramie Avenue. That's 103 North Laramie Avenue. Here in Chicago, Illinois, 6644. Sunday services, 11:45. Thursdays, 7:15. But this Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have Sunday night late, and we have a wonderful powerful prophet coming down.
Well, I love the sound of that.
You want to know who he is?
Yes, I do.
It's me.
That's what I'm talking about. Did we know this authenticity on this
We'll be growing in healing, deliverance, spending all of that, so we're just excited about that. So let's stop it.
Amen. Of course, my weekend is going to go through, and let's get this, all this out the way because the doggone article is so hot. Okay, so we're going to be covering that until we leave today. But of course, tonight, when I leave here, you can meet me at, of course, the Marriott in Oak Brook, Chicago Marriott, Oak Brook. We're going to be with Pastor Michelle. Ministries, Sabrina Michelle Ministries, with Pain to Power. Going to be there on tonight. We're going to kick off tonight with, of course, this is something. We're going to kick off tonight with Girl Talk with a pajama party right there at Chicago Marriott Oak Brook. Of course, Girl Talk is going to be it's going to be with Pastor Sabrina and her daughter, Deja Hazard. The theme is Let's Get Butt Naked and Stay Free. Let's get butt naked. That's like a Dana. Let's get butt naked and stay free.
Lord.
On the show, y'all.
Lord.
Okay, and then tomorrow morning, we're going to kick off again with Continental Breakfast. You got your sessions, of course. You got your workshops. Chris Metal, Lauren Tiffany. We've got Angela Thickview, Apostle Angela Thickview, Marcy Wilson, Dr. Lori Ann Campbell, Chantel Saltberg, Apostle Angela Denise Morgan is going to help us end tomorrow's activities with none other than our brunch and our, of course, our fashion show. Okay, also, July 29th is going to be the Great Love, Great Awareness Outreach International. Pastors Robert and Angela Johnson, God Denise is going to present 2017 Youth Explosion. Going to have games, going to have workshops, going to have sessions, going to feature all day. And we're going to give to our youth. We have 150 slots. So we want to service at least 150 youth on July the 29th, if it's all right with you guys. We're going to give them, as they're entering the park, we're going to give them a T-shirt, and then before they leave our facility in the afternoon, July 29th, from 2 p.m. till 7, we're going to give them a knapsack filled with school supplies. So we're asking you all to donate, if you can, but we will not turn any of our youth away. Robert Johnson, AO9@gmail.com, PayPal.com, okay? We are so happy to be a part of what's going on right now here at TTLO Radio, and we're going to start our little chat. Won't you all to chime in a little bit? Let's see who's joining us.
We got Kathleen Savon.
Beautiful.
We got my goddaughter, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
And Dana King, the Reverend.
The Reverend
is watching.
You gotta come on and watch.
Live. Oh, yeah. What you talking about, goddaughter? Wait a minute. She want to see Dana King on here.
Oh, ain't that a trip?
All of
that.
And I got
my
hat
on for this trip. Come on here. That's what I'm talking about. And so, of course, just want to give shout out today to Dana King, of course, and Daydria, who are normally here on the Hemp on a Friday with Friday Prayer Break. Did I say it right? Friday Prayer Break. Uh-huh. We are getting down with the get down right now. Listen, we're going to kick off our article because it is absolutely amazing. And I can't believe that they actually took the time to get this article together. I thought it was.
I just want to be clear that I didn't choose this article. Y'all already know when I get stirred and I have no filter. So y'all pray for the good prophet today.
Pray for the good preacher too. Pray for me too. Pray for me and all my gifts.
Pray for Dana King.
Pray for Dana. But if you're gonna email anybody, make sure you email
Dana.
But you know what? So here's a great. It's so amazing that we have this article in front of us today. And so I know that you guys, your ears are burning. Yeah, I know they are. Your ears are burning because, of course, a couple of days ago, I believe it was, Fred Casey Price Jr., of course, he got on, let them put it on live media platform, that he was going to be stepping down. And the reason they gave for him stepping down was due to wrongful judgment or due to making some
misjudgments.
Okay. And so I read on one of the TMZs that somebody was saying, well, what was the reason? Did he tell anybody? No, he did not. We saw the same thing that you saw. The other thing I thought was absolutely amazing is that you couldn't get one person. Now, we can't say this for all churches.
I thought that was found.
Did you hear me? We couldn't get one person to say anything different.
Now, we don't know what they're doing in California.
We don't. We haven't heard anything here.
Yeah.
And so, of course, so let's talk about this just a little bit. So the question I put out on my Facebook was, I didn't even put it on Facebook. I think I inboxed Dana and a couple of more, and I just said, okay, could he still be your pastor if he steps down? I will tell you that I saw the actual presentation. I saw the actual coverage.
You did?
I did. And the actual, I'm looking for a word, Prophet Cornelius. I saw the actual report that they did. You know, when they do
the press conference.
The press conference. Yeah. I saw the gospel press conference about him stepping down. Mm-hmm. And here was my word. I cried with him. I felt this guy. I mean, I really felt it in my heart that whatever it was enough for him to stop, take an amazing sabbatical hiatus, whatever you want to call it, but go and have a seat. And I will tell you that a lot of pastors don't do that. We just keep going and we keep spreading those germs around. Come on, it's like a cancer. But I can't even speak to what the man went through and don't even really care.
Well, we don't. He didn't say what it was.
He did.
What the misappropriation was or the misjudgment was. So we can't speak to any of that. So we just want to make sure that the audience is clear that we're not judging
We're not judging him at all.
Connecting him even to this article.
That's correct. We don't know what his misjudgment was.
So, but I thought it was very remarkable how the church supported him. I thought it was very remarkable of him to have the dignity to be able to stand before the audience and say, hey, this is it, respect my privacy, respect my family, and I'm going through the process of reconciliation to get, you know, restoration or whatever he needs. I think that is such a scriptural approach.
Wow, me too.
I think that is such a wonderful thing. And we need to see more of that in the body of Christ because it would spell all of the stuff that people do that's not even attributed to the church.
If
we can stand by our own and support our own difficulty and not put our mouth on people, because the way it was done, people didn't even have anything negative to attach to.
They really couldn't.
Because it was done with so much dignity.
He shut it down and shut them down.
Yeah, he did. So we're just excited. So I'm excited this board process, and I'm just excited that his church is still embracing him, because I think the article reads that his church stood up, gave him an amazing applause.
I saw it.
I didn't watch it, but I heard it.
I saw it. And so we do know as well that dad is going to be taking over that particular church again. If I'm not mistaken, that is the church
in Oakland, California.
But there is a church as well in New York, right?
I thought I read that.
But there's two churches. So the one young man on the media platform, he's beginning to say, just so you all know, this is not going to stop our church. Our church is going to keep going like everything else. This is what the deacon said. We don't have to bust the question.
Uh-huh.
We learn how to look. Whatever they tell us, they tell us.
Whatever they tell us is not true.
That's right. Okay. Everybody has their little inputs they want to put.
Yeah.
But if you're not walking in my shoes, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what. Listen, you don't know what pastors go through.
It's our responsibility to make sure that we are following the agreement.
Come on, and that's that. Come on, and that's that. Now, if I was above sin, Prophet Cornelius, don't you know I wouldn't be here on planet Earth. That's what I'm saying. So
we can mess
thank God for Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Thank God for Jesus. So I applaud. So I want this to go on record. I applaud, of course, Mr. Fred Casey Price Jr.
I applaud you for what you did.
I cried with you. I hurt with you. And we're going to restore you in the spirit of love.
Yeah, we should cover him in prayer.
That's what we're going to do, of course. Yeah. Okay, so of course, Patty Reedy Williams. Did we already say
that? That's my mother.
Hey,
Patty. Hey,
hey, Kathleen, of course, we're hanging out with you today, so thank you all so much for joining us. Marciana Assel.
Marciano, what's up, Reverend?
Marciano.
How
about Regina Taylor?
Regina Taylor, that is my aunt.
That's
hey,
your
Regina.
Hey, nephew. Uh-huh. So, of course, thank you all so much for joining us. Of course, we're just telling you periodically that we're here covering for none other than Dana L. King is TTLO Radio.
TTLO Radio.
Of course.
It's about to get cracking up in here.
It's getting ready to get crack-a-lacking up in here.
We're getting ready to take a music break.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And we will be back.
We'll be back.
In a hot minute.
Yes, we will.
To start the podcast.
Your way.
Narcissism is excessive or erotic interest in oneself and one's physical appearance. So when the person wrote this says narcissism, that means that there is a deep self-attraction that a person has to himself that means that the other person should believe that about themselves.
Wow.
So they go into that extramarital relationship exerting power over another.
Wow.
Because they feel that they are God's gift to the world. So if you're a person that thinks like that, you can already tell based on the description of narcissism that there is something deeply wrong with an individual that is approaching an extramarital relationship.
Deeply wrong. And so let's stop blaming, or let's stop trying to put the blame on ourselves.
You can't put the blame on yourself.
It's
not going to make you go with you because you're the one with the narcissistic syndrome.
Am I wrong, though? Am I wrong for feeling like, keep going, I really don't want to see your reason why you did it, why it's what it should
be.
Thank you.
So, you know, the reason doesn't make sense. The reason doesn't make sense. We need to stop reconciling the reason.
Mm-hmm.
We need to ratify the solution that can get us out of that world.
That can get us
out of the program.
Number three, your affair or inappropriate relationship, the latest euphemism, will come out eventually. Don't fool yourself. There's going to be a cover and a cover. Thanks to social media, thousands of people will know within days. Bottom line, anyone who Googles your name will find out you're there on the first page of search book. Listen, let me answer all the questions real quick. If you want me to send a little message, I will give you a little feedback, please. Let us know really, really quick. We hear it in our heads with feedback, so we want to make sure we're not distorting the actual sound of the actual show. Okay? And so I'll read that again. Number three, your affair, an inappropriate relationship, the latest euphemism. I already read that, right? We talked about this earlier.
Right.
I felt like the way he handled it was absolutely amazing.
It's amazing.
But the way his, the folks that are working with him, his team, the way they handled it, the way his dad handled it, as you can see, his dad didn't say one word.
That's amazing, but at the same time, you still have to realize that whatever we do, and I really don't want to insert, you know, his misstep or misjudgment into this. I want to be very careful with because I don't want to attach it to an extramarital contemplation.
Okay.
Because
we don't know what it was.
But those who you serve with, or if you're a pastor in leadership, you have to think about the effect that something that's inappropriate like that would have on the people who are working with you. It's because they look up to you as a leader, as a person who watch over your soul. And how can you watch over my soul? This is what people think. This is the psychology of people. How can you watch over my soul and you need someone to watch over you?
Wow.
But it speaks to a great concept that's overlooked and underrealized in the body of Christ, that pastors need pastors.
Wow. Shoot at number four for us, Pastor.
Shoot at number four. It says, when your secret is exposed, your family, friends, staff, church members will feel violated. There it goes. We just talked about that. and those who have deeper emotional wounds from an alcoholic, abusive, self-absorbed, or absent parent or spouse will be affected in ways you can't imagine. The current betrayal and abandonment that you feel in reaction to your actions will stir up old hurts. They had grown to trust you as their pastor, to believe they had finally found a truly good man or woman who loved them much to lie. Your affair will leave them reeling. Best case scenario. They share their emotional upheaval and caring friends and a counselor. Their church pulls together to provide support for many months. More common scenario, they deal with their emotional upheaval by either one, checking out, shutting down emotionally, withdrawing from others, or leaving the organized church, perhaps forever, or two, acting out self-destructive behaviors like drinking or eating too much, diving into unwise relationships, etc. Bottom line, your affair will shipwreck the only people who are already struggling to keep afloat emotionally.
Because bottom line is us as leaders, we just, and let us say this as well. If you're a leader and you're out there and you were contemplating an extramarital affair, or you're a leader and you're out there and you have had one, we want you to just come to yourself today. Let this be your come to Jesus today. Just the mere fact that we are even talking about this, and you are right, it is so
selfish. It's because we're not considering the people that we
got for. And that's what I'm saying.
It's because
and the
I mean,
damage, the damage. Oh my God, hearts. God's gonna hold us accountable.
He is gonna hold us accountable because we should not, be responsible for making shipwreck of somebody's life.
Of somebody's life.
Because, like the article says, that we're the trusted individual in that person's life.
Wow.
So when they come to us, you come to us, you think about going into an office, sitting across from the desk, sharing your deepest, personal, destructive behavior to someone who's supposed to give you counsel, and it comes out that they're living by so are we supposed to, and I think that this is a deeper conversation, is because are we supposed to expect that?
From our leaders?
Are we supposed to go into council with a leader and expect that they're just like me?
My Lord. You know what? That's an awesome, awesome question. I believe what you're saying and what we said at the beginning of the show is that we are just like you.
Yeah.
We got shortcomings. We have sinned, come short of the glory of God, just as you have. Just because we're preaching the word of God, we are not above that word, huh? We have to stay in the confines of obeying the word, just like we're asking you to do. And I am subject. I'm subject to sin.
But do we have self-control from animalistic kids?
I tell you what.
See, y'all don't want to keep it real.
I've had a bunch of days where I wanted to say some ugly stuff, but I realized who I really am. I don't have to say the ugly stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything ugly because I am held to a different standard.
Yeah.
I am God's girl. And so I don't have to walk in darkness on any level. See, that's what it really is.
Yeah.
It's walking in darkness. If I decide,
yeah.
Let us talk about that. If I decide to cheat on Rob,
uh-oh.
It was my decision.
It was your decision because the Bible says a man is drawn away by his own lust.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
He's driven away by his own lust. You can't, and see, that goes back to narcissism. Is that exactly what it is? It's you. It has to do with no one.
It has to do
with no one draws your way to lust. It is all about you.
Yes. I tell you what. How about we get one more, and then we're going to go right on to we believe what's going to be an even better portion of this.
We're getting people to tell us the sound is bad.
Okay. Sound is bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's adjust the sound. People, praise them. So that the listening audiences can listen in and hear what we're saying. We got a good audience.
They say better just a little static.
Better just a little static.
Okay.
Yeah,
good. So we do have somebody that's working on it as we're just going to try to move on through so we can get to the next portion.
We want everybody to like the show as we're talking.
We want everybody
to go ahead and like the show, like the page, Thinking to Live and Talk Radio.
Please do.
So that you can stay in tune with future shows.
Amen. Amazing. Listen, so the article writer says, there is hope for the minister
yes.
who has an affair.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with confessing to your spouse, trusted friend, and elder board or personal committee, and then cutting off all contact with your affair partner. In the weeks.
If your partner is crazy.
And but you know what? That's the reason why I think the actual writer is saying, but if you confess it to your spouse, confess it to your church, or confess it to your board.
For accountability.
Now, are you saying that the person is crazy and that they could try to blackmail you? Or are you saying the person is...
They feel like a stalker.
Okay.
Because if you have accountability partners, you're not worried about blackmail.
You really are.
Yeah, but if a person just wants to stop pursuing you, claiming to be pregnant,
absolutely.
Showing up at your house,
absolutely.
Harassing your children and your family, what would you do as a woman?
If
there was a woman who was involved with your husband.
I'm gonna make y'all laugh. Okay? How about I had an incident not like that?
How would Angela respond?
Listen, how about I had an incident where some paper showed up at our house for a Robert Johnson? You know Robert Johnson is a common name.
Mm-hmm.
Some paper showed up at our house for a Robert Johnson. And I just so happened to answer the door. So the sheriff gives me the papers, and I'm looking at the papers, you know, with that name. I'm saying one against Fairfield preachers. And then I started thinking, I said, and then I handed them to Rob, but then I had my own set. And I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, they found a name in the children. Now I know what my children's names are, and I know that I can give an account of my husband's moment. I just can't. Man, I must have corrected my own self and went there like, sister. You got the right man in your house. And guess what? If it was a situation, you still were going to have to treat it in a, like, you and God are tight type of manner.
What would you do if your husband told you? And I'm not saying that he is.
Come on.
You,
exactly.
You know, I just like to keep it real.
Yeah.
I'm really
a real situation.
Listen, I used to be homosexual.
Come on.
I still have a whole lot of heterosexual questions.
Yeah.
I'm very inquisitive in my brain.
Come on.
So
how long
have you been married?
I've been married 23 years.
Okay, so you've been married longer than I've ever been straight. So here's the deal. I want to ask for the listening audience, for the people who are checking out this show, what if your husband told you, what would you do if he came and said to you, how would you handle it as a woman, that I am contemplating cheating if he was just open?
First of all, okay, let me help. Because that's the difference. To me, contemplating cheating on me, and I have been cheating, is almost too different. It's almost like a brick and a glass box. Okay? If you contemplate cheating on me, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what you can do. Praise Jesus. I want you to do it, but you will not be my husband any longer.
So you would invite him to do it?
No, I would invite him to step out of our marriage.
You would invite him to step out?
Yes, I would.
Why would you invite him to step out?
Because I would. Because
so you would encourage the behavior?
No,
okay.
I'm not encouraging the beginning. So maybe I should start from the beginning. Okay, so the first thing I would tell him is, man of God, before you do something like this, consider that you're gonna be sinning. And of course,
do you really believe that there are bold husbands in the world?
Absolutely not.
That go to their spouse and say, I'm about to.
Absolutely not. But there's a sinning husband. Well, let's say that. Let's say this. There's some men that are not walking in God. I have never heard anything of the sort ever in my life.
I can't do you.
Please, go ahead. No, I've never. Do you know any that's ever done that?
Well,
you will get a cat bust in your teeth.
Well, I'm pretty sure there are some people.
Probably not a Christian man.
Well, I mean, we have to. The reason why I'm asking is because. It says the pastor considering an extramarital affair.
Where does this come from?
So you can't tell me that because they do have the other folks on the
hood. Okay, it ain't from the hood thing.
But, so tell me the difference between the hood and the.
I'm trying to. Somebody was to step to me, my husband, to tell me, oh, by the way, I'm considering. have an affair on you. I don't know what I would freaking do. I don't know. I mean, like, if there was a mug by me, a glass bottle, a black skillet, I just really don't know. Okay? And he could expect the same thing if I said,
I'm just tired, and you know what, I want to step out.
Okay.
But I had a bad fact.
Okay.
Or
that's
to
all
respect
I'm
the fact that I'm about to go upside the head.
That's all I'm saying. Listen, he says, dedication to recovery will help you regain the respect of your children and your friends, with tremendous work. Your marriage can heal. People will move on to other gospels. They will. Gospel, they will.
Yeah, they
you will someday like yourself again. Bottom line, if you will go through the firestorm, ignited when a pastor admits an affair, you will see God bring beauty from the ashes of your life. Yeah, I know I will.
That's easy to say.
Yes, it is.
It's easy to say.
But that's a stuff.
But you have to also to consider what's important to that pastor.
You also have to consider what's important.
Is important to that pastor?
Oh, my God.
Or is family important to that
pastor? Can I tell you something?
Yes, ma'am.
It just so happens that what you just said just gave a segue into, I want y'all to know that, of course, Pastor Prophet Cornelius, I didn't say this to you. Okay, I didn't know if he had it or not, because I was just going to let him be our lead. I was just going to kind of get him there. But it's going to make a difference if ministry is important to him or family is important to him. Or did you say both?
What you said, it, you have to see what's important to him.
What's important to him?
Yeah, because if his family's not important to him, of course he's going to have a
marriage. Absolutely.
But also, too, you have to know that if he wants to conceal
what
it is that he wants to do, you know, this extramarital affair, and doesn't want to disclose, he probably thinks to himself that ministry is more important because he's living a lie.
Wow.
Not a secret.
Wow.
But what he does not realize because of his own narcissism is that ministry isn't important to him either. Is because he's not considering the lies of others.
Because ministry is about truth.
It is about
truth. Ministry is about, you guys, is about men. It's about facing me. Facing, I believe that the best churches are the churches where the pastors share their vulnerabilities. You don't have to share everything except God leads you to do that.
Absolutely.
But you need to share some things because I believe those
things. I
think
people deserve the right. They have the right to know.
They do, right?
And this is in the case of the Fred Price misjudgments.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what his misjudgments were.
We just don't.
But I think that, but it all too depends on the culture of your ministry.
It all depends on the culture.
Yeah, because if your ministry has a history of integrity, I think it's okay to be a little bit ambiguous in your explanation.
Yeah.
And you know, and choose some confidence.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you don't have a history of doing something that is a misjudgment, that can affect ministry, I think that because let's tell the truth, a lot of us have a lot of misjudgment.
We do. Come on, let's just tell the truth.
Let's just,
we really do.
But we don't know what it is.
And just because, and let's make sure we give this, disclose this as well. We want to say to that minister, that pastor, leader, husband, or that wife, just because you do something bad doesn't make you a bad person.
It does not.
Okay? We make mistakes. We say things right. We say things that we're not supposed to say. But I believe that all of this kind of leads us into this segue. It gives us this open door. Keeping your marriage. We want to go on to our next segment, okay? Let's talk, real talk. Can we talk? Keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. Keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. Y'all can hit us on, of course, our Facebook Live and share with us what you've done as husband, as wife in ministry. How do you keep your marriage vibrant? Whether you're married, whether you're pastors, whether you're not, how do you keep your marriage vibrant? How are you planning on keeping your marriage vibrant, single girls, when you do get married? But the topic, of course, the theme to this article is keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. First year, we were married and in full-time ministry together. My husband, Jeff, and I worked all the time, rarely finishing before 10 or 11. One weekend, I counted 29 extra meals I served to the university students we invited over. Students would come and use our computer so late at night that they would see themselves out after we had gone to bed. Probably not the best way to start building intimacy in our marriage. We did get things sorted out, but it continues to be an area we both work on together. And important work it is. It's possible to get so focused on ministry and the calling God has put on our lives that we get sideswiped in our marriage relationship, bringing us crashing down and causing extensive damage to our spiritual life, the people we love, and our ministry. We're going to move on just for time and talk about the first danger, spiritual warfare. Satan would love to destroy our marriage and disqualify us in ministry. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Here's two ways Satan may work to deceive our thoughts. We can start having vain imaginations. I read this before I came in today, and she just talked about how Prophet Cornelius, this woman was in front of her husband, and how she just started thinking bad thoughts, like, I know if I think she's beautiful, my husband thinks she's beautiful too, and he's probably thinking about being with her. I mean, how morbid can your mind be about your significant other? Of course, we're talking about keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. I think our thought patterns, our thought processes have to be that you have to keep your mind stayed on Jesus all the time. Talk to us just a little bit about what she's thinking and why she's thinking that. Why do you think something like that?
Well, you have to look at the statistic. It's another article.
Yes, it is.
It talks about 40% of pastors and men having extramarital affairs.
My Lord. Yes,
so
it is.
So if you have a 40% admission of affairs, you have a 40% admission to intimacy. 40% ratio of insecurity.
Absolutely.
So do church women go into marriages automatically thinking that it's a possibility that their husbands get you up?
Do church women go into that marriage? This is an awesome question.
Yeah, because if this is 40% of pastors that cheat, that means another 20% of their churches is attached. The parishioners are attached to that because of the spirit of the house.
What can we do then? Because we want to keep it vibrant. We want to keep the marriage vibrant while we're serving in ministry. Prophet Cornelius, what are some of the things that you do to make sure that Chantel is never cheated, even though you're the pastor, shepherd of the house?
Well, first of all, Shantae's going to have to believe in herself.
Okay.
She's
going
to have to be confident in herself as a woman.
Okay.
Because I can buy her flowers, take her shopping, take her to dinner, date her, all of this stuff. But it goes back to the other article, that if there is some level of narcissism in that person, or some level of brokenness, or some level of dysfunction in an individual, I don't care what I do for the individual. If that person wants to cheat, that person's going to cheat.
Wow.
So the person is really going to have to truly, truly give their mind, their life, their soul over to the quality of the relationship.
Now that's good.
If they don't do that, what I do doesn't even count.
Oh my God.
I could be the greatest pastor in the world. We could have the biggest church. We can have a big bank account. We can live in the finest house or have the finest car. We can have all of the cosmetics ever. But if that soul is broken and that soul has another desire, I can't keep that person.
I can't keep that person.
So
it's not a myth. Okay, so talk to us then from keeping our marriages vibrant while we're still in ministry. What are some of the things I can do? You can do.
Well, first of all, if Christ isn't the center of the relationship,
that's good.
It's because, it
don't matter what
Christian relationships, no matter what you do, because marriage is for the believer as well as the unbeliever.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, even if a woman marries an unbeliever, she sacrifices her husband.
Yeah.
You know, but they're, you know, the only thing that makes them unequally yoked is if they have a difference in beliefs.
My Lord.
So, but when it comes to a marriage, in order for it to be a healthy, godly marriage,
mm-hmm.
that couple is going to have to understand what Ephesians talks about when it comes to the family structure.
My God.
God, Christ, husband, wife, family.
Say it again. Say it again.
God, Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. God, Christ, husband, wife, family.
So, for that pastor, talked about it on my way in today. So, that pastor will think that
the
his ministry.
Is wife.
Come on here.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus don't need you to handle that wife.
But you know, they brought that to my attention. I'm going to be candid. Can I
be you can be honest.
It's because I'm just going to be candid. And, you know, this is probably the first time that I'm sharing this with all of these people that's listening on here. But, you know, Shante and I, we just ran into a situation like that. It's because I have been in pastoring 3 years.
Absolutely.
And building the ministry, mm-hmm. I have become so overwhelmed with busy on top of writing and publishing. A whole lot of ministry stuff just got away. So I had to go to her, and I had to admit to her just recently that I put a lot of this stuff in the way. So I didn't have an extramarital relationship, but I did have an affair with ministry.
Come on. Talk to us about that.
And I let stuff in the way and left her feeling empty.
Jesus.
And void of her husband. And a lot of women have disdain for ministry. A lot of women have disdain for the saints that we lay hands on and pray for and minister to. And that woman becomes wildly insecure because we have made the church our extramarital companion.
My God, my God. And so when that woman talks about in this article, when she talks about warfare and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I believe what I hear you saying is this, though, too,
uh-huh.
is that I have a part to play.
Yep.
Rob has a part to play. And so we equally have parts to play in this thing. But, of course, husbands, you are our covering. You cover us. You protect us, things of that nature. And so you have a part to play, but I do, too. I believe that part of what we should be doing, women, let me say this from the woman.
You know, I disagree with the covering.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I disagree with the covering piece.
Why?
Because when I get crazy, what I do uncovered.
What do you mean?
When I do something I don't have any business doing, what I do uncovered my spouse, I think Christ is the covering to the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the two now has become one.
Okay.
So
okay.
Christ covers the marriage.
Okay.
I then become the priest to my wife.
Absolutely. But I believe what we all are sharing from the perspective of covering
mm-hmm.
is that Rob is our head. He's our, him being the head, that portion of covering.
He's the head
of
the
of,
woman.
That's right.
Yes.
He's the head of
the Christ is the
right.
cover.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
As our husbands are the head,
head of
the wife.
Yes.
yes. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, women, I believe that are, from a woman's perspective, mm-hmm. I've got to be praying for my husband.
Yes.
And I've got to be making righteous choices, too. Okay, in our house, of course, I was the first first elder. I was the first preacher in our home. I was the first, I was the psalmist.
What kind
first.
Of pressure was that?
Oh, my God. You know what? I worried so much. And see, when you marry somebody who doesn't talk a lot,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is something that I know. You marry a person who don't talk a lot. Okay, don't talk a lot.
Yeah.
But when they do talk, it's powerful and it means so much. I worried about Rob suffering from intimidation a lot.
Okay.
So I don't know why this is, but it's almost a little different to me when you got the man who's more aggressive versus the woman. Then you have the woman more aggressive than the man. So I felt like, oh my God, here I am. I'm going to end up with some. Imbalance.
So did you have to go through having to find your place, like the you know get your place woman kind of syndrome?
I didn't. But before Rob was totally acclimated into pastoring, into ministry. I tell you what, I remember this. When I met my husband, I was of course the leader of praise and worship, and I was already preaching. So I'd already my gifting at that time, one of them anyway, was evangelism. And so I was traveling all over the world evangelizing. And so I think it was more or less other people in our marriage, in our circle, who was like, Rob, so you gonna let her go all the way? She going by herself. And I said, wait 1 minute. First of all, this marriage don't belong to none of y'all. So I need y'all to step out. And then the other thing is that I was sharing with my husband, there will be times when I was asked to go, was going to be going, and I was like, Rob, you really didn't seem like, you didn't pray for me, and you really didn't seem like you really bought into me going.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, he stopped me on my way out, and he said, Angela, let me share this with you, okay? From a selfish husband point of view, I don't never want you to go. I really don't. He said, but let me say this to you. Anytime God calls you, you have my blessing. He said, and I want you to do well. Prophet Cornelius, I want you to know from that moment till this one, something broke. It was almost as if I was even mad at the audiences that I was preaching to, because I felt like, why don't y'all see that there's something missing here? That I have a total, or I felt like I didn't have the total buy-in from my husband at that time. He sends me, yeah. He makes sure the car is ready, yeah. But I don't. Why aren't you people that's supposed to be prophets not seeing that? And then when it broke, come on here. Now I was this free spirit. But I can tell you that as a woman, I need to be praying the right prayers.
Right.
I need to be making sure that I see things like this when things are beginning to fail or get foundations of this thing I'm beginning to get a little weak, Prophet Cornelius. It doesn't put me in the head.
Right.
No, it puts me still as the morning women that God calls for when he needs somebody sold out. I'm sold out to the marriage, and I'm sold out to ministry, but I'm sold out to my marriage first. And I had to learn that no matter what, my children, I had to repent to my kids a whole bunch of days because I didn't know any better. I thought that if it was God first, you know what I thought that meant? I thought that meant going on and do ministry first. You know, if your husband didn't want to go, or he didn't, if your husband was mean about it or whatever, that means that he's not in touch with God.
So what you're saying is that a person has to find balance personal conviction.
Absolutely.
With covenant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think
talk to us about that a little bit.
You know, it's a covenant relationship. God honors covenant. God doesn't honor your prophet title first.
He doesn't.
He honors the covenant that you made and the vow that you have established with that individual.
Jesus.
So you have to make sure that you are honored, because you preaching and prophesying accurately don't mean nothing.
Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
He can use a tree to do that.
My God.
But what he does honor is you acknowledging the fact that you have a covenant relationship with the person that you made a vow with.
My God.
Because he's a man of covenant.
My God. The next part of this says, she talks about, of course, we're talking about keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. If any of you all can relate to any of this, please, by all means, comment, and myself, and of course, you see any comments we need to read out. Myself and Pastor Cornelius can, Williams can, of course, share those comments. We will try to share some of them online, okay? Listen, danger number two is going to be our flesh. As wives, we can become resentful of time our husbands spend in ministry. But even as husbands, we can be resentful of time our wives are spent in ministry as well, and use this as an excuse to feed our flesh or sinful behavior. I imagine some of us are submitting other things for the lack of our husband's or the lack of our wife's attention, focusing on our kids, our career, our home, shopping, or whatever. Another danger is to downplay the needs of our family.
You know, I've got a couple who is an author with my publishing company. The name of their book is In Couples Prayer.
Wow. I love it.
And it's written by Stephanie and Ernest Rowell.
Wow.
They have a freaking powerful story of all of these years that they have been married. And they give all of these various accounts through other relationships. And do you know that this one that you just read is one of those?
Come on.
And I think everybody should get that book. I think that y'all should get that book, A Couple's Prayer. But I think that, can I just make this intersection?
Please.
Can I make this intersection?
Please.
I really think that people who are married, I think that it's a matter of, somebody talked to me, a pastor in Chicago that I'm accountable to.
Okay.
As far as marriage is concerned. This man told me, because I think that every man should have an accountability partner.
Okay, okay.
So they can, when they start thinking wrong, they can call that person and say, hey, man, what you think about this? I'm
thinking
crazy on this piece. But he told King, he said, you're going to have to decide, and this is going to bless somebody with your
own. I believe it, too.
You're going to have to decide that for your marriage, if you're going to either follow your will or come under the will of God.
My Lord, say it again, Pastor.
You're going to have to decide.
Decide.
If you want to follow your will or come under the will of God. He said, because it's two aspects to a marriage. Two aspects of these is the friendship and the relational aspect. So a lot of people want to be friends, but they don't want to have a relationship.
My Lord. My Lord.
The reason people say that they fall out of love, you don't fall out of love with people. You fall out of relationship.
Yes, you do.
And relationship, the relationship aspect, is what what puts the demand on both parties to participate in a couple.
Come on here.
And that is what men and women who like to cheat and disconnect from their spouse don't like to feel. Don't want to be pressured.
Don't want to be pressured.
I just said something real powerful.
Don't like being pressured.
The people are saying that the volume is really loud. But I think that when we decide that if we're going to continue in a marriage, that we have to make sure that the demands of participating, both parties participating in building that covenant relationship and keeping it healthy, both mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Come on. Equal opportunity.
We're going to have to not have any underlying motives.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have to shut every door to every avenue. That keeps us withdrawn from that.
And you know what? I'll even say this as well. I'm learning. 52 years old, I'm 52, and Rob just made 55 this week. And I can promise you, I want you all out there, you're young in your marriage, I want you to take some photos, okay? Take photos. And you know what? And honestly, I love the Lord. Rob loves the Lord. But I also want you all to consider that there are going to be times in that marriage when male gets older, come on, high, you know, I don't know how to kick this off.
I'm 40 years old, I ain't even old yet.
Okay, you're 40. but what I'm saying is.
But there are still some things wrong with me at this age.
You understand what I'm saying?
You know?
I mean, let's be real about the thing, okay?
Rob works
a full-time job. I work a full-time job. I'm at home now, but I've always worked a strenuous full-time job. And so don't fool yourself. Every night you get home, you are not going to be eating your dinner and then rushing upstairs to ministry. Come on, yeah. Sometimes before your head hits the pillow, you're already sleeping. But I want you to learn, we got to learn even how to balance that out. You got to learn, I believe I'm getting ready to say something really powerful. We got to learn how to stop other folk from dipping. And do not allow other people, I don't care, can I tell you something? A pastor cannot dip in my marriage. Did you hear what I just said? If I were
explain that.
What I mean by that is this right here. When it comes down to my inside of that bedroom and my marriage, I don't want anybody dipping I tell you what, I don't want you dipping, giving your insight unless I am out of God's order in my marriage. In other words, you gotta leave us room to grow. You gotta leave us. I don't mean that you cannot, because Prophet Cornelius, we have the couples events at our church too. But there's some, to me, there's some lines we should not step over.
Yeah, I believe that.
There are boundaries.
Because when you start crossing boundaries, then you start making the couple's minds up for them.
That's what I'm saying.
And you have to, when you're counseling people, a skilled counselor knows that you always influence the person to make their own decisions.
Absolutely. Hey, you all don't know this, but our mates are out here on the line. Hey, Shanada! And Pastor Rob is on the line with us as well. Of course, we have to give some yell outs and some shout outs.
What's up, Pastor Johnson?
Listen, so of course, you just mentioned boundary settings, but right before boundary settings, the demands of ministry is danger number four.
Uh-oh.
Keeping this marriage vibrant while we are in ministry. Danger number four is the demands of ministry. Needy people. Jeff and I were assigned to train another ministry couple one year, and it turned out that they had the same problem we we had with First Mary. The husband's philosophy was that if he wasn't physically at work, he wasn't working. Even if he was working at home, the wife was a magnet for needy people and would spend long periods of time talking with them on the phone. As the husband continued to work these crazy hours, the wife got so depressed she couldn't take care of the kids.
Wow.
One time she got so frustrated she got out a 10-pound bag of rice and threw it all over the house. In ministry, needy people never go away.
I wonder why she chose rice.
Why did she choose rice? I don't know. Jesus said, "The poor you will have with you always." Have okay, the poor you will have with you always. If you take on the savior role, or as my friend Dave likes to say, manager of the universe, our families will pay the price.
Yes.
Talk to us, Prophet Cornelius. Oh my God,
I
you cannot take on the
right.
savior role. Because she knew that if she threw anything else, she was going to really hurt some people. She was trying to say, I'm frustrated. Are you paying attention?
Tell me about that with women.
Listen to me. Oh my God. Our frustration is so much different than your frustration. Our frustration normally has sensitivity written all over it. Like, I'm frustrated because you're not telling me that I'm pretty. I'm frustrated because you're not telling me that.
Why do you all require that?
Why do we require
so
you to tell me I'm pretty? You know what? I think it. Do you know my head, my brain just said, think about a pretty doll. Back in the day, you played with pretty dolls. And so everybody always talks, you know, when I grab a doll and I put it in my hand.
Do you think women
pretty
suffer
doll,
from psychosis?
I think maybe just a little bit. But it's God, right. God is a deliverer. He's a deliverer. But we do. We want to be, you know what? My husband don't know this, but I get upset with him if I say that I'm heavy and he doesn't. You hear me? I get upset if I say, man, you know, I mean, I need to lose some weight. I get upset if my husband don't jump in and say, baby,
you
look fine. You
look fine to me.
Just the way you are.
Oh, good.
I really truly do.
Why do you all require men to go through those changes? You know, that's exhausting.
My thing is this, right? But here's the other thing about that.
Well,
it's you I want to tell you. It's not another brother. It's you I want
to tell
you. It's
you. You don't expect us to do that.
Because I'm balling your balls.
But you do know. That's good. But you do know we're conceptual beings, right?
I do.
We're not emotionally driven.
And can I? Okay, now, speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
You're not emotionally driven.
No.
I don't like sports, but I will kind of act like I like it if I know that that's
it's
something.
It's important to him.
Right. It's
okay.
Important to him. And I'm so glad like, I have the kind of husband who can take it or leave it. Thank you, Jesus. But I want you, okay, so for you men out there who we'll ask that question in 1 second, Latrice. For you men out there, I want to know, what do you do about that wife who is always looking to be affirmed in that way? Prophet Cornelius, is that a bad thing that I want to be affirmed sometimes in that way? Where do you think that comes from?
Y'all just emotional.
We very emotional.
You're just emotional. You have it's the way that you guys are wired. You guys are wired to be as affectionate. You guys, women were designed to help the man.
Wow. So help you in every area.
In every area.
Come on here.
So all I ask is that a woman that sometimes you tell me I'm beautiful.
Wow.
It's because women are natural survivors.
We are.
Men, we're hunters. Women are survivors.
Men are hunters.
While men are out in the field, women are back home or wherever they are, in whatever kind of personality or whatever field that they do, whatever kind of persuasion. And women, y'all can post comments to tell me about a line or whatever. Tell me, Jude, post some questions for us. Y'all can be back home figuring it out.
Come on.
And here we are with this wild boar we done captured.
That is so true.
What do we do with this?
Wow.
You guys have an up on us.
Wow.
You guys have something to do.
I wonder, my husband often says that too. He says, you know, again, you know, because one of the things I believe as a husband and a wife, and particularly as ministry husbands and wives, who are in ministry together, yes, wife, even if you're not standing there saying you wear a title, you really do, I believe that we should keep all outsiders outside. To a certain degree.
To a certain degree, I believe that.
Great. Okay.
There should be some kind of
accountability is totally different.
Yeah, from exclusive.
You having mentors, totally different.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
You don't tell anybody everything about your style.
You know what I'm saying? Do you all know one of the. It's funny that you said that. One of the amazing things I thank God for in marriage is that I've never been the type of woman who talked to other people about Rob. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can ask Rob. Rob will tell you. Now, she can tell me about me. Okay. Because I feel like.
Men do talk.
Yes, you do.
Men do talk. But we ain't going to embarrass our women.
No, you're not.
No,
you're not. And I promise.
And we're not going to tell brothers enough that they say, oh, I can steal her from you.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because that is what it's really all about.
But then you're going to make me lay down my pastor's title and whoop you.
Did you hear me?
Did y'all
hear him say whoop? You ain't going to throw the bag around.
No, I'm going to throw the bag around.
My Lord. We got a question out here on Facebook.
Question.
Latrice A. Intercessor, she says, how should a first lady be in support and compassionate toward the church ministry? How should a first lady be in support and compassionate toward the church ministry?
You should answer that.
My God.
There's no
such thing as getting in where you fit in, that's for sure. You know
there
what? Is? Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Speaking
if
of that,
you are married to a pastor of a church, then you're born of this bone, flesh, and respect. We're one. The first person.
So you don't think, so you're telling the audience that you think that because that pastor is the pastor and you're his wife, by default, they should see you like him?
Not necessarily. Yes, I should say yes. I really feel like that's a yes.
I want to know what you think.
That's a yes.
Why do
I
you
feel
like
that's
a yes?
That's a yes.
Bring that yes down.
Because I am, we are one. We're not two people. We're one in the eyesight of God. We're no longer twain, but we're one flesh. The other thing is.
As married people. But him being called is a different answer.
I don't necessarily know if I now here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If Pastor Rob is called to ministry, am I not the call to ministry too? And do I have to necessarily wear an evangelist title or whatever to be called to ministry?
I believe you support his dad. You're in a supporting role, but God called him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you guys decide not to stay, and this is why a lot of churches get destroyed.
Okay, talk to me.
It's because when people go into that marriage, go into that ministry, and they start leading and pastoring, and this is just in my thinking.
Okay.
There's no real scripture to support this.
Okay.
But this is just in my thinking. I think that people automatically assume that the pastor's wife, by default, is one of their pastors too.
Say it again.
I think that the members sometimes believe that by default, the pastor's wife is their pastor too.
Okay.
And that's not the case.
Okay.
I believe that it depends on the dynamic of that ministry
and
how that pastor chooses. Yeah, and how that pastor chooses the church or the laity or the leadership of that church to understand the boundaries when it comes to leadership.
Okay.
And I will use myself for an excuse. My church knows that they never use Shantae in the same language as pastor.
Okay.
I am their pastor. Shantae is not their pastor.
Okay. Now, okay.
Shantae is my wife.
Okay.
That is the boundaries.
Okay.
The same respect and honor you give me,
you give
to my wife.
Is that because, now tell me this, tell me this, because you say it differentiates with the dynamic of that church.
It differentiates.
Okay.
It's because I don't want Shantae in my ministry space.
Okay.
And it's not in a bad way.
Okay.
I want Shantae because, and she taught me this. This is what Shantae taught me. She taught me that it's too much pressure for women who are leading ladies to support their husbands. And they have to fulfill this role that these people have in their mind about that I have to wear dress, I have to wear the hat, I have to sit on the front row of the second seat and look beautiful every week and rub your snot every week. She said, that's not who I am. I'm going to love you, but I need to rock this life how I rock this life.
Okay.
And it may not be in the charisma in which that churches are used to with their first ladies. So I think based on the, this is what I mean by this, based on the dynamic of that church and based on the dynamic of that
for my church
and that for husband and wife, that he has to give the wife the room to be her,
okay. But
yet still make her feel, in a sense, that it's important to him that she's involved with ministry in the capacity in which she's able to meet.
To me. Now, you know, now let's talk about that just a little bit. This is amazing, by the way, just so you know. We only have a few minutes.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But what I think is so unique about that situation is that...
Hey, Irma, I love you. She's watching.
She's
one of my elders.
Of course, in Rob and my situation, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is my sense, my heart about it, Prophet Cornelius. I feel like I don't co-parent with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I I don't co-parent with him. I'm a parent with him. Where he's a pastor, I'm pastoring with him. And so, of course, I am also in, okay, maybe I should say it this way. I don't find it, or he doesn't find it, robbery that I don't work in an equal in pastoring, but I am pastoring with him. Am I saying that good? I hope
so. You don't.
I don't go by the title of first.
You're saying that your role with him isn't lateral.
It's not.
Yeah,
like
it's a horizontal leadership. You reach out. You're expanding areas where he's not able to expand.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes,
but
I am.
He is in hierarchy.
Yes,
with your pastor.
Absolutely.
So if the church understands that, that's fine.
I love the way you just.
But I believe that a lot. You're more congregational.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, and I believe, should take the pressures off the wives to always have to be that pastor to them.
Wow.
Because I like how Shante likes to get dolled up and be beautiful in her way, do what she likes to do,
mm-hmm.
because she likes girl settings and group settings
yeah.
and all of that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
She don't like all of the administrative day-to-day operations of ministry. That's not who she is. She likes talking to the women about what kind of bra they're supposed to wear,
keeping
your stomach in and all of that stuff, and you ain't fully jacked. She likes that kind of stuff. But that's pastoral ministry to her.
Absolutely.
So you have to accept that as a leader if you're going to believe in that woman as your wife.
This is so good. This is so good. You all, we're running out of time. I think we maybe have about, but we've been talking about keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. Keeping your marriage vibrant while serving in ministry. I want to read off this comment that Pastor Rob put out here. For marriage to, and we're going back a little bit, for marriage to successfully grow, you must understand change is inevitable. So, yes, taking pictures is a good thing, and you must also cherish the memories. Cherish the memories. Yes. There has to be some boundary setting.
Mm-hmm.
Boundary setting. Pastor Cornelius, we're going to end with this a little bit. There has to be some boundary setting. Because ministry is so demanding, it is imperative that we set boundaries around our work. But also, sharpen our communication.
Sharpen the communication. So you
sharpen.
So you don't fall in the 40% that cheat.
That's what I'm saying. Sharpen your communication. Identify and express your desires and opinions. Express your desires positively rather than negatively. Keep it fairly short and give the opportunity for the other person to hear what you have to say. Try to maintain symmetry with time and voice volume, not gradually speeding up or raising your voice.
That's love language.
Is that love language?
Love language.
Oh my God, we're going to talk about this just a little bit before we leave here. When listening, hear, respond, and build. Talk to us just a little bit about love language, about how to keep that marriage vibrant while serving in ministry as we are going to end with our last
50% of any relationship is listening.
Oh my God.
50%. If you make it 30%, you're going to have a failed marriage.
My God.
Or you're going to have a contentious marriage. So you have to understand that you have to listen to your spouse.
You've got to listen.
First of all, your body doesn't belong to you.
My Lord, who does it belong to?
It belongs to the other part.
Yes, it does.
So that means that if your body doesn't belong to you according to Scripture, your mouth don't either.
My Lord.
So you can't separate your mouth and your ears from your body.
You cannot.
You have to be able to speak kindly, affirm, love the person that you're with, and you have to be able to hear because your ears are connected to the
and
Bible.
And what about those who do? What about those who, just over the years, probably what they did was, we do want to share that some people have watched their dad yell at their mom all of their life. Some people have watched their mom truly degrade their dad because maybe he didn't make as much money.
Not radio ignorance.
Yes, yes, yes. How do we kind of encourage them to move past that already?
They need to get some counseling.
Yeah.
They need to get some resources.
The preacher needs counseling. Say it again.
See, I'm a big proponent. You know, you come to my church, you can get counseling on anything.
Come on.
I believe in that. I believe in counseling. I believe in talking to people about their issues. Come on, let's talk, because you know what? You just snapped on somebody. It's something wrong there.
Wow.
You can't come to church and just sit in there and frown all day and cross your legs and talk to people in general. Well, you got some deep issues that we need to discuss. So let me set up an appointment with you. Let's talk about this.
Wow.
Let's get through these issues. Let's get you some professional help if I can't help you, because I'm not a clinician. So if we need to push you up to somebody that you should be for help, because everything, we can't spiritualize everything in the church.
Wow.
And I think that sometimes we say, you need to learn in silence. You're a woman in church. You ain't supposed to speak. Baby, bye. We ain't no Orthodox Jews. We black people sitting right up here in the church in America. We have the freedom of speech, our constitutional rights, and you gonna tell me to shut up? Are you kidding me? You better go somewhere and learn how to listen. Because I'm a person just like you. I said that to say this, is that oftentimes in relationships, we take away that person's individuality is because we want to be bottom line narcissistic.
Wow. Which we talked about earlier.
It all times. And that is why people cheat. It's because they're either sick of the person that they're with, abused by the person that they're with. So any kind of behavior in a relationship that's not adjusted appropriately, what's going to happen is they're going to perpetuate that behavior onto the next person.
Y'all, I love hearing Prophet Cornelius Williams speak. And so you know what we're going to do? I think Latanya shared with us that we have about 5 or 10 more minutes. So I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Ask you a question while we're still out here like this. I want you to give us 3 major hot points that will help to keep a vibrant marriage while we are yet serving in ministry. Help us right there. 3 major points and talk about them.
You want to hear what's at the top of my head?
I want to hear what's number 1 on your list.
Sex, honey.
How do you keep it juicy?
You gotta have some sex. You save people that you're supposed to survive and have some sex. Go in that bedroom and get freaky.
Get freaky.
Put your mouth on it.
Pass it off.
Not just your money. Put your mouth on it.
Come on.
Watch, feel, do it all. Y'all shouldn't ask me no questions if you don't want the truth.
Come on.
You got to be nasty.
Hey.
When you come out of the anointing, you get freaky.
Help me.
Come on now.
Come on.
There is a human underneath all of that anointing.
Yes.
And it fits.
Yes.
Come off the stage. I thank God for the anointing because it teaches me how human I am.
Oh, my God.
You see that? That's number 1.
Thank God for the anointing.
Thank God for the anointing because it empowers you.
So for all you glory people out there who you trust. Now, of course, if y'all 80, 90, and all you doing is just laying your hand on his knee, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But you got to come up with a... That is... You know what I love when you say, anytime you would catch that man with a flu, he would say, I just need hands to minister to
you. Yeah. I call it worship.
Yeah.
I'm going to
work. I just need this. So that's number 1.
That's number one. Quality time.
Quality time. Talk to us about quality time. How do we do it?
I owe my wife big time.
Oh my
we're
God.
Going to New York next week for Holy Convocation.
You are?
Yes, we're going Monday to Friday. But we only have service at night, so I plan to spend a lot of time with my wife.
Okay.
We need to catch up.
Okay.
So quality time is very, very important. That's number 2. Number 3 is, like you said earlier, which I thought was so freaking profound, is set boundaries from the outside world. Into being an intersection in your marriage.
Set boundaries.
So sex?
Lots of it.
Ministry. Probably
about
4 times a week.
And you don't need to put
if
on
you
no,
do it 2 times a week, you
should
jump it up. No, don't come to bed with that. I've been told my wife, you can go get lingerie, whatever you want to go get. But that is not important to me because I'm already looking past what's underneath. Praise God. But
yeah.
So is sex number one? Number two, and you know, whatever, you know, intimacy is number one. It could be anything because somebody might not be able to, you know,
intimacy. Come on.
And I like that. Number two, quality time.
Yeah.
And number three, y'all want to hear that?
We want to hear number three.
We want to hear that? Setting boundaries. Don't let people in your marriage.
Set boundaries.
Yep.
Do not allow people in your marriage. Shanae would say, please be nasty. Pastor Cornelius probably said, please be nasty.
Please.
Of course, Patty Reedy said, say thanks. Shanae said, yes. Yeah. And John Wilmore said, yes. All three will get you there and keep you there. All three will get you there and keep you there.
Yep.
Well, listen, of course, we thank y'all so much for joining us, but I want to make sure you all know that we sat in today for TTFO Radio. L. King is, of course, the host, and, of course, Devin is the co. But I want to make sure before we sign off that we ask our co-host, Prophet Pastor Cornelius, can you just share with us some of the things you're doing this week, maybe tonight, tomorrow? What do you got going on this
Sunday
week?
I want everybody to come out to my church, 103 North Laramie Avenue.
We're come on.
World Dominion Church, the Sunday night place. I'm
going
to be preaching, prophesying, laying hands, casting out devils, healing the sick. We had a testimony last night in our service where someone had a flare-up in their leg and laid hands at the service with the oil.
Thank
and
you.
And that person ended up walking about 3 hours later.
Wow.
So there is a very, very real healing anointing that has been placed upon me, and I thank God for that grace. So we'll be doing all of that. Invite the sick. Anybody who needs to be healed is going to go down that night.
What are you calling it again?
Sunday Night Blaze.
Sunday Night Blaze.
What a power of God comes
sweep
through like never before. So go to my page, get that information. It's on there for you this week. You go to worlddominionchurch.org. Look at that information. You can go on World Dominion Church. The Glory House is
the Glory. Come on here.
And you can follow us. And you can also like my page, Prophet Cornelius Williams. Also, too, I'll be in a holy convocation this week.
Yes, you will.
I'm excited about that.
Yes, you will.
We got some amazing speakers that week.
Yeah,
we're
going to ask you what
yeah.
some of the people
we got some of the people
with.
Next
yeah.
week we're going to be hanging out with. We're going to be hanging out with Dr. Todd Hall. Bishop Michael Pitts is going to be on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we've got Youth Night, Pastor Ty Trivett. And then on Friday night, we got Dr. Jasmine Sklar. It's going to be amazing. Yes, Bishop William Hudson is our presiding prelate. And also, too, our patriarch is the Bishop Archbishop Roy E. Brown.
Yeah. Amen. So, of course, you guys don't forget to, of course, go out there and give some shout-outs on Prophet Cornelius' page. What's the address of your church?
103 North Laramie Avenue. Right on Laramie and Washington, the Glory House.
Avenue. I know exactly where you guys are. Of course, you can join your girl, Pastor Angela Johnson, tonight at 6:30. I'm going to be at the Marriott Hotel, Marriott in Oak Brook, I believe it's called Chicago Marriott Oak Brook, 1401 West 22nd Street. And we're going to be kicking off Pain to Power. Of course, that is Pastor Sabrina Michelle Ministries presents Pain to Power Empowerment Conference going on tonight. We're going to kick off at about 6:30. We're going to have our big pajama party after our meet and greet tonight. I believe that there's a segment we're going to do tonight called Soul Therapy with Aquanetta Thompson, Soul Therapy. And then after that, we're going to start our pajama party where the theme of the pajama party, y'all going to love this, is none other than Girl Talk with Pastor Sabrina and Deja Hazard. Let's get butt-naked and stay free. Stay free tonight. So Friday night kickoff tonight. Then tomorrow we're going to be kicking off again at about 8 a.m. And we're going to go to about 12:40 with our sessions, workshops, and all that good stuff. Some amazing, amazing vessels are going to be there on tomorrow. And then Saturday afternoon, about 3-ish, we're going to be at our brunch at our fashion show. I promise you, you've never seen a fashion show pulled off like this one. Remember, the theme of the actual event is Pain to Power. I always say it this way: God is ready and already in your next. Why are you still in your next? Come on. God is already in your next. Why are you still in your knot? So tonight, meet me at Pains of Power. Pastor Sabrina Michelle presents Pains of Power, of course, 1401 West 22nd Street. Of course, 2 days, $125. And if you can only hang out with us one day, all you got to do is call 773-669-5801. 773-669-5801. Don't forget to join me Sunday. I'm going to be with my whole church, Pastor Robert L. Johnson Jr. and Red Love Great Works Outreach International. Of course, we're 17 West 620 Reardonville Park, Illinois, 60181. If you go navigate, meet me there at 11 o'clock for intercessory prayer. And then, of course, worship and the word at 11:30. All I can tell you is that we teach you how to maintain and gain a relationship with the Lord so that you can stop putting so much pressure on men. Come on here, in men's flesh. Look, the Bible says, ain't no good thing in the flesh, or that cursed are you if you put all your faith in the flesh. We believe we've been called, but we're not God, and we don't want to sit in his seat. Come on here. We want to encourage you to build your own relationship with the Lord. Guess what?
What?
It's been an exciting
day.
Thank you all of the
teaching.
Thank you.
praise your